In this series, the reason we're saying it's important to get into the Bible, it's because how we connect with Jesus. In fact, if you grab your note sheet, the series has a theme. We read the Bible to connect with Jesus. This is not a religious book. This isn't a rule book. This is a relationship book. And the reason we read it is because we connect with Jesus as we read it. We started this series talking about a story in the Bible. Right towards the end of Jesus' life, things got very confusing. The religious leaders, the state church had begun to persecute him and his followers. People started to question some of the things that he was saying. This enormous popularity that Jesus had was dwindling. And then he dies on the cross, which shocks everybody. Nobody wants to, you know, even imagine how that could be true. And they're confused. How could someone like Jesus, all the miracles he did, how does someone like that die on the cross? They're questioning, should we believe anything he ever said? There's this huge chaos now. Who is Jesus, and what should I think about Jesus? And people are processing that. And then in the midst of it, the story starts to circulate that there's a resurrection. So in the middle of all this chaos and unbelievable, like, what should I think now? Now people start to say that Jesus is alive. And people are afraid. How could it be true? What am I supposed to make of it? And sure enough, it's irrefutable. He shows up. So many people see him. It's real. Jesus is back alive. And there's just a lot of doubts and a lot of fears. A lot of people stepping back. They're not sure what to think about this person, Jesus. And there's a story in the Bible where Jesus meets a couple of people that should have been able to easily recognize him. There are people that he knew, they knew him, and he knew them, but when they see Jesus, they stay back and they're not certain. All the chaos and everything that's happened in their life and in their world, they're not really clear. Is it or is it not? How can they connect with him? Should they connect with him? And Jesus is having a difficult time convincing them, and he turns to the Bible. And let me read it to you. It's in your notes. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So you see at a time when Jesus is trying to connect with people, really difficult, like how would I convince them? He uses the Bible. And so that's the whole backdrop of this series, is that the Bible, the scripture, is the way that God connects with us. Now today we're going to talk about what that connection looks like. It's the big idea, right in your notes, the connection causes the life change. Don't change yourselves to be like people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants you to do. Life change. Now, let me put a backdrop to this. What does it mean for your life to change? I want to sort of put the backdrop. We all have imperfections and flaws in our life. We all have things about us, little quirky things that are flaws that aren't sinful and aren't shameful. In fact, it's probably the way that God wired you and wired me to make us unique. A few years ago, I bought some jeans. They were distressed jeans. And you know, they purposely had holes in them, and they were all worn out looking, and you buy them this way. And I went to my family reunion, and my little brother saw those, and he started teasing me. He's like, I can't believe you showed up in those trashy old junky hand-me-down jeans. And I had to tell him, I had to say, I bought them that way. They're supposed to be that way. One person bought a pair of them, and this is what it said, a little tag said, these jeans have intentional flaws in order to make them unique. And when I heard that, I thought, that sounds like my life. I have flaws and things about me, little quirks that make me unique, and they're not sinful. It's not important that they change. They're who I am. So we're not talking about that today. We're not. But there are flaws. And there are quirks in me that do need to change. Because they hurt me and they hurt other people and they can even wreck our life. And we're talking about those type of changes in our life. And so how does it happen? We're going to look at an analogy today when Jesus connects with us. What does it look like? If you have your notes, grab your pen. I want you to write four letters somewhere in your notes today, just real big letters. Write the letters S-O-A-P. Spells out SOAP. That's going to be our acronym today. S-O-A-P. I'm going to give you a very straightforward way to read the Bible that helps you connect with Jesus so some changes can happen in your life. S-O-A-P. Let's look at the first one. It stands for Scripture. SOAP, Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped, circle that, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When the kids were little, we had a babysitter come over to the house one time. We were just starting her out. She was going to do some babysitting. And when she arrived, she had a little suitcase with her. And I said, "Hey, Carolyn, what's the suitcase for?" And she said, "Oh, that's my babysitting supplies." And she opened it up, and inside this little suitcase was some puzzles and some crayons and some color books and some scissors and paper and some glue. And her mom had helped her prepare and gave her all the stuff she thought she would need to come and babysit that night. In a sense, I guess you could say her mom equipped her for what she had to do. And do you know when you read the Bible and you connect with Jesus, that's essentially what's occurring. He's equipping us for our life. He's equipping us for the different things we have come up in our families, our marriages, our jobs, our finances, our health. You read the Bible and he starts to equip us. Now you might ask yourself this question, how much equipping do I need? How much of the Bible do I need to read? And I want to say this because there's sort of this misconception that you have to read a lot of the Bible to get something out of the Bible, page after page, chapter after chapter. And let me just say this. It's not about getting into the Bible. It's about getting a little bit of the Bible into you. In fact, I suggest when you read the Bible, just read a chapter. Chapter or two is all you need to read. Just a small little amount. Don't be intimidated by the Bible and try to read lots and lots of the Bible. And some people like to say, "Oh, I read, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 pages of the Bible." And in a nutshell, it's not the amount, it's the attitude. When my oldest son was little, we started playing basketball together. And I remember being at work, and I knew it towards the end of the day after work, he was going to be at home and he was going to be waiting with that ball. Because we had a basketball at the house, and I knew he was going to be waiting. I was trying to get done as fast as I could because I wanted to get home and change, and I wanted to spend time with him playing basketball. I didn't do that because it was an obligation. I didn't do that because it was a parental duty or I had to do it. I wanted to do it. It was an attitude. Reading the Bible is not an obligation, and it's not a religious duty. It's not being able to say at the end of the week how much you read. Just read a chapter of it. It's the attitude I bring to it that matters. I'm looking forward to reading a little bit of the Bible. Now, today we're going to talk about sort of a unique way, because say you just read one chapter, and what we're going to do is see what happens is if you read one chapter, if a few lines were to just jump out at you, you read through it, you read a chapter, and you go, "Oh, a few lines, a verse just jumped out at me," and you decide, well, it's going to be that particular verse that I'm going to think about. So second letter, O, observation. When I read the Bible, I'm observing things. Do you know when you start to have Jesus equip you, one of the first things he does is help you take a look and see your life so you'll know what equipment that you need? Observation, you're observing the Scripture, you're observing your life. This last week, a friend of mine who I met when I was a youth pastor when she was in junior high did a shout out on Facebook. And she was talking about her marriage. She'd been now married 13 years. She's married to a pastor. They have a couple of kids. She had a picture of her and her husband. And I was there. I was the pastor doing the wedding. And you know, it was this really cool picture. Shout out how happy she is to be married and all this stuff. And I posted back to her. I said, "Things turned out so differently than you thought they would." Because I remember when she was in junior high. She was all gothic, and she was coming to the junior high group, and she didn't know if there was God, if she believed in God, and she just kept attending. And I remember when she invited Jesus into her heart, and she was trying to find her way as a Christian. And one day I was talking to her, and she said, "You know what's going to happen to me?" She goes, "I already know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to graduate from high school. I'm going to go off to college, and I'm just going to sleep with some guy." And when I saw that picture, I remembered what she said. And I remember when she was equipping her life for a future that she was so sure she was going to have until Jesus. When I knew her in high school, she had already started to equip her heart. She'd already started to equip her mind. She'd started to brace herself for the destiny she was so sure was coming towards her. Are you equipping yourself for anything in your future? You're so certain that that's going to happen to you, and you've already started equipping your life for it. I'm going to get divorced. I got divorced last time. I know I'm going to get fired. I got fired before. I'm just going to gain the weight back or whatever. Is it anything? It's like you already feel destined for it, and so you're equipping your life right now. Because what it says in the Bible is that when I connect with Jesus, sometimes he has to re-equip me because he has a completely different future planned. In the equipment that I'm paying, it's like you're planning for a trip to Hawaii and you're equipping to go to the North Pole. And your suitcase is filled with sweaters and parkas and boots and long underwear and earmuffs and everything. And someone looks and says, I thought you were going to Hawaii. That's Jesus. Re-equipping. When I was a children's pastor, there was a family I got to know, and they adopted a little boy from India, Sundar. And his mom used to tell stories that Sundar would stash food all around his bedroom. He would stash it in the closet and even in his bed, his dresser. She'd go in there, and after dinner, you know, he would take food secretly and he would hide it in his bedroom. Why? Because Sundar had been starving his entire life. Sundar never had enough to eat. And he saw all this food that these people had in his new family, and he just could not believe that at some point the food would be gone. So he was stashing it all. He was equipping himself based on something that happened in the past. Anybody doing that? Something's happened in your past, and you're already equipping yourself. You're already bracing yourself what's going to happen because it happened last time. And she said, it took a long time to convince him. There's going to be food. You don't need to stash it and hide it. Say. Now, when we come before God and we just read a chapter of the Bible and we're with Jesus and we're observing our life and we're observing the scripture, that's when the re-equipping happens. Now, in the big idea, there's a verse there. It's Romans, and I want to throw that up there real quick. So let's say this is me this week. I'm reading through it, and this is the verse that jumps out at me right here. And so, okay, this is the verse I'm going to observe. Don't change yourselves to be like people of the world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. So this is the verse that jumps out at me. Let's say we were all doing it together, and this was our verse. Like, well, this is the verse I'm going to sort of camp on and think about. As I'm doing it this week, I'm reading this verse, and I'm thinking, wow, that's often the opposite of how I live. For me, I always think if I can change my outside, I'll be happier on the inside. If I can change things in my family or my relationship, if I can make my circumstances different, that's how I knee-jerk approach it. If I can make my circumstances different, and then I start to equip myself based on that. And then I'm with Jesus and I'm reading the Bible, and he says, no, the inside is what really changes the outside. You trying to change anything in a relationship about yourself, your world, your life? See what happens when you're in the Bible and you're reading it, you sometimes find out I'm equipping myself in all the wrong ways. And it's in the interchange. So observation. Number three, application. Application. And I want to read it out of the Bible to you. It's in your notes, but don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently to the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I read about the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, this week. Apparently, in her younger years, she loved mirrors, and so they still have the royal family. Queen Elizabeth just keeps marching on. And where her primary residence was filled with mirrors when she was younger. All of these gorgeous, beautiful, full length. All the rooms had mirrors in them. And she's in her 20s and 30s, and she just loved mirrors everywhere. But the staff noticed that when she got into her 50s, things started to change. And in her 60s, she started removing the mirrors. She wasn't as excited to see herself. And I thought, I understand. You probably looked in the mirror this morning before you came to church. I looked in the mirror before I came to church. You probably look in the mirror. I look in the mirror every single morning. You walk up and you look in the mirror and you look in there and you think, oh boy. You either get to work or you walk away. That's what mirrors do. And that's the application part when it comes to the Bible. Remember, you're reading the Bible with the author. So you read a chapter of the Bible, you read 4 or 5 minutes, and a scripture jumps out at you. Now, let's put the Romans one back up. So this is the one that jumps. And so we're observing our life, and I'm thinking through my world, and I thought, man, I have a tendency to always change the outside stuff. I'm not working on the inside stuff, and I'm reading through this. And this is actually my week. This happened to me this week. I'm reading through this scripture. I'm going on vacation after church today for the rest of the week. Now, I've been in school 5 years. I finally graduated and I'm out of school. I haven't had any vacations. This is the first time in a long time I get to go on vacation with no papers, right? It's just going to be awesome. So I've been looking forward to it for quite a while. I'm going to go on vacation and see my family. It's just going to be super. And so I'm reading through this section of scripture this week, and I was praying this week, and I was asking God, I want a good vacation, keep me safe, and a couple people I want to talk to about their faith, and I'm preparing. And just in the middle of my prayer time, God just sort of slips in, why don't you visit your father? And I'm praying, I'm like, and you know, it didn't really strike me as a negative or positive. I just am starting to reconnect with my dad. In my life, I had a foster father, I had a grandfather, I had lots of coaches and teachers. I've never looked back on my life and thought, gosh, you know, I just didn't have any dads, or I felt like I had a lot of fathering, and yet not by him, my blood dad. I never knew him, there's no relationship. We just, after many years, have just started to reconnect, and I'm praying, and I hear God say, why don't you visit your father? Well, I'm processing that, and this is my scripture for the week. I'm going through this scripture, too, in Romans, and I'm thinking, I said, well, God, come on. I mean, I'm driving a car. He lives in the opposite direction of where I'm going. It's going to take money and time, and I have to go out of my way, and it's going to be awkward. Every time I ever talk to him, it's so awkward. I'm not a little kid anymore. You know, it's like, I you know, and I'm trying to process. And I'm reading this part of the Bible, and here's what it says. This is great. It says, he says, don't change yourselves to be like people of the world. And I thought to myself, people of the world, what does that mean? And I thought, well, there's God's ways and everything else. And everything else, that's the world. And I thought, what are God's ways? And I just started thinking about how God treats me. And I thought, well, he always has my best interest in mind. He always seems to be willing to sacrifice on my behalf. He always has my back. He's always willing to make time for me. And I'm processing whether or not I should visit my dad. And as I process, I realize I'm looking at this just like people in the world would. I'm looking at it, the inconvenience it'll be for me, the sacrifice it'll be for me. The entire thing was, I was processing all. Do you know when you read the Bible, it's like a lens. And you see your life through the Bible. You make observations, and then the application times. And I started realizing I'm approaching this entire thing like people in the world would approach it, not how God approaches things. And so I started to try to connect and say, Jesus, well, what would that look like? He said, well, you wouldn't think about your interests or what you're going to go through. You'd start to think what it might mean to him. And then I thought about this. I called my dad on Father's Day. I have never called him on Father's Day ever before. And I called him on Father's Day. It was just a really short, simple call. I just thought, well, I'll call him on Father's Day. And halfway through the call, he started crying. And I was processing going to see him now in a complete... Because here's what I want you to know. As you're reading the Bible, you're processing your life and what you're going through and what things are going to be like. And all of a sudden, I just saw the whole thing differently. I didn't see it from what it was going to make me go through. I saw what it might cause for him. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. And I don't know how it's going to all turn out. But something changed. Not easy. And that's where the next letter comes in. Write the letter P. That stands for prayer. One of the things I really like about the Bible is that it shows me how I should live, and then it convinces me that I can't do it without Jesus. The bar is so high. When you read the Bible, it's going to show you things that's very naturally going to cause you to go, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that. There was a famous comedian that in between shows, there was a bunch of other comedians there too, was in the backstage area, and he was reading the Bible. And some other people saw him, and they knew his lifestyle and stuff, and they were watching him. And finally, one guy went over and said, what are you doing reading the Bible? And he looked up and said, I'm looking for loopholes. Don't we all? Don't we all? Please hear this. When you read the Bible, it's not up to you to try to make it happen. Don't forget the P, the prayer part. Don't forget the part that you genuinely go before God and said, I can't do this. This is too difficult. Or maybe to thank him and say, Lord, I think I've made some headway in this area. I think I might be able to do this because of what you've done in my life. But do not forget the P. Now here's the bottom line, and write it in your notes. A consistent connection provides consistent power. I tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. So now here's what we're talking about today. Please catch this. Here's what we're talking about today. We're talking about just a little bit of the Bible, a chapter. Scripture. And then just find one verse that jumps out of you, a few lines that jump out. That's your observation. And application is when you start to let the lens of the Scripture and Jesus sort of talk to you about your everyday life. And then you pray, and that's when the power comes. I brought a little illustration for that today. This is out of my living room. I didn't even tell my wife right off the bat I was bringing it, so there it is, honey, the lamp from our living room. But you hit the switch, and on comes the power. And you can almost think that it's because you hit the switch that the power comes on. But it's really not true. The power comes on because it's connected. Is why it comes on. You take this out, and there's no power. Do you know you can hit this switch all day long? No light. Do you know? You can read this all day long. You can read this to your... You can brag about how much you read or not. You can hide the fact that you never read it. This could have a mountain of dust on it. But without the connection... See, it's the connection. The power. This is the switch, no doubt about it. But when it's connected, when this connection occurs... That's when the power happens. I'm saying it through the series, this is not a religious book. It's not a rule book. It's a relationship book. I guess you could say it's almost like a switch. But boy, if you don't have the power, there will be no light. These go together. We read the Bible so we can connect with Jesus. And that's when life change happens. Don't worry about the silly little flaws in your life that really don't matter. They just make you unique. But there are some flaws that can ruin your life. And those are the ones who'll help you change. If you bow your head for a moment, what's one thing you'd like to change in your life and it's something that really needs to change? And if you'd join me just for a moment, put your hands out and palms down. Everyone, just put your hands out in front of you and palms down. And you've already thought of that one thing that you want to change. And I'm going to count to three, and then as we turn our hands over, this is all you're saying. God, I'm opening my heart to you. Jesus, I'm opening my heart to you to make that change in me. We turn our palms over, and it means an open heart. One, two, three, and turn them over. And Lord, you see the change that we want to see happen in our lives. We stand before you with our palms open towards heaven, admitting we need you. We're glad you're in our life. Our attitude is to be with you and to be glad that you want us. We offer you ourselves and the change that needs to occur as we connect with the one that gives us the power. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. See you next weekend.